No college basketball coach has been as successful as John Wooden was at UCLA. There's no argument there. From 1964 through 1975, Wooden's teams won 10 national titles, 7 of them consecutively. In The Sons of Westwood, subtitled John Wooden, UCLA, and the Dynasty That Changed College Basketball, John Matthew Smith presents a portrait of Wooden bound to dismay some of the coach's supporters. John Matthew Smith, welcome to Only a Game.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
What best explains the annual success of John Wooden's teams? Recruiting or teaching or the coach's charisma? What was going on there?
Well, I think it was a combination. I mean, Wooden was an excellent coach, fantastic in practice in breaking down the fundamentals, developing team unity and cohesion on the court. But John Wooden, we have to remember, was at UCLA for 15 years before he won his first national championship. And you can't win without great players, and Coach Wooden would admit that. So his early championship teams, they were very guard-oriented with Walt Hazard and Gale Goodrich, two All-Americans. But then when Lew Alcindor arrived in his first varsity season in 1966-1967, the offense ran through him. And then after those players left, Bill Walton came, and so he changed again with the center. So his ability to adapt really, I think, is what sustained the success with the combination of these incredibly talented players.
John Wooden was celebrated not only as a fantastically successful coach, but as a fellow who stood for tradition and order. Was that a legitimate reading of John Wooden?
You know, John Wooden in the 1960s and the 1970s was a symbol of moral authority. This is an age when America's college sons and daughters have turned a deaf ear to their parents, right? They're questioning their parents, they're questioning authority, they're questioning professors and administrators on America's campuses. And Wooden projects this image of consensus in a time of dissent. But ultimately, his players did respect his authority, and he was able to bring them together in a way that they were successful when it was time to practice, when it was time to play.
Bill Walton said at one point during his college career that, quote, people make too much of sports and athletes, and it's all out of proportion to its place in the overall scheme of things. Would John Wooden have agreed with that?
I think to an extent, yes, and it would depend on when in life you asked John Wooden. When John Wooden was retired, he was often asked by sports writers how he felt about the commercialization of college basketball. And he felt that television and the drive for dollars had distorted the amateur ideals of the sport. And one of the things that I point out is that Wooden was partly responsible for those changes. His teams were at the center of the commercial revolution of college basketball. And during John Wooden and J.D. Morgan's time at UCLA, they were successful in taking the Bruins all over the country. So they played in Madison Square Garden. They played in Chicago Stadium. They played in the Los Angeles Sports Arena. They played in the Houston Astrodome. These were professional arenas. And it's during the UCLA dynasty that college basketball becomes more professionalized. It's not until after the late 1960s, after that game in the Astrodome, that the television networks were really interested in college basketball. Previously, it was really a regional sport. And really, I think the driving force behind that change is Lew Alcindor. There's no question in my mind that Lew Alcindor generated more media interest than any other college basketball player before him. Now, at the same time, there's something else that's happening. When you have players like Lew Alcindor, who joined the Black Power movement of that time, who was outspoken about racism in New York and in California, and he talked about poverty and the war, and about his hero Malcolm X, who was a controversial figure, he is at the forefront of a more militant, outspoken black college athlete. And so the relationship between college athletics and society is changing at this time.
Some of the most compelling stories in The Sons of Westwood involve John Wooden's relationship with Bill Walton. Wooden didn't like Walton's social activism, which the coach regarded as certainly inappropriate, perhaps even un-American. Walton didn't like the coach's rules regarding things like hair length and beards. How did those two get along?
There's no doubt that every day in practice, Walton tested Wooden. He was always questioning, why do we have to do it this way, coach? Why don't we think about doing it this way? And certainly by this time, in the early 70s, Wooden is a little tired. I think he's fatigued from the incredible pressure of always having to win. And Walton, I think, felt that same pressure. At their core, they were both competitors. They both loved basketball, and they were driven. And I think that's really what brought them together. And I think it's part of the beauty that here they are, two very different guys. Here's John Wooden, who has very different views about society and morals and politics. And then you have Bill Walton, who is the son of liberals, grows up in San Diego, someone who was drawn to social action movements, the anti-war movement. He gets arrested in 1972 for occupying the administration building. But basketball brings them together. And I think that they both realized they needed each other to be successful. And ultimately, Walton respected Wooden as his coach. He challenged him, but there was a certain line that he wouldn't cross. And I think that was true of a lot of the players who did test Wooden on and off the court.
John Matthew Smith is the author of The Sons of Westwood, John Wooden, UCLA, and the Dynasty That Changed College Basketball. The book is published by the University of Illinois Press, and the author joined me from Georgia Public Broadcasting. John, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thanks so much. I've enjoyed talking to you.
You're listening to Only a Game.